Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 17th day of July, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I guess since I noted the date that way, I ought to also note that that's 25 years to the day after a missile took out TWA Flight 800. A Paris-bound 747 out of JFK in New York that blew up with over 700 eyewitnesses, as it turns out, right off the coast of Long Island. The then already crooked FBI helped to cover it up, lie about the evidence, persecute and prosecute those who tried to tell the American people the truth, and it turns out a lot of those very same people ended up, years later, doing the same thing to the Trump administration. Over the years, yours truly has had the privilege of interviewing a number of people involved in the investigation, a number of people that have the expertise to look at the evidence and realize just what a great big whopper the American people were being fed, among them the late General Benton K. Parton, United States Air Force, who spearheaded what was then called smart weapons development and certainly knows more about blowing up buildings and airplanes than any of us ever will. He exposed the Oklahoma City Murrah Building fraud and knew the TWA Flight 800 was taken out by a missile as well. But certainly the number one investigative reporter ever since July 17th of 1996 has been the legendary Jack Cashel. And he penned a really insightful piece this week on the 25th anniversary of what he rightfully called 25 years of deep state deception that summarizes where we are this week just about as well as anything possibly could. He describes his own education and later investigation into the fraud, his meeting with reporter James Sanders and his wife Elizabeth, later persecuted for trying to tell Americans the truth, and his interview with eyewitnesses who saw the missile take out the jetliner, including one identified by the FBI as Witness 73. And from this point forward, Cashel's story makes it clear that the FBI didn't just start fudging 302 reports when Trump came into office. He quotes that 302 report, which says that while keeping her eyes on the aircraft, she observed a red streak moving up from the ground towards the aircraft at an approximate 45-degree angle, leaving a light gray-colored smoke trail, which later impacted the aircraft. She observed a fire followed by one or two secondary explosions with a deeper sound, then saw the front of the aircraft separate from the back and observed burning pieces of debris falling from the aircraft. Writes Jack Cashel, based on his investigative work, weeks before the FBI and the NTSB were able to piece together the breakup sequence of the aircraft, Witness 73 had nailed it. But according to a later FBI 302, when agents went back to Witness 73 for a second interview, which she later told Jack Cashel actually never happened, she admitted she'd been drinking Long Island iced teas before the crash and actually wasn't quite sure what she'd seen. Cashel said, when I asked her about that drink during our 2009 conversation, she told me, I don't even know what a Long Island iced tea is. Could it have been another drink, I asked? No, she told me, I don't drink, not at all. And there's something else you don't know, something stranger. There was no second interview. They made it all up. Well, replied Jack Cashel, there's something you may not know. You're not the only witness they did that to. And if you know the story from there, you know that Witness 73 was one of more than 700 witnesses to the crash that the FBI supposedly interviewed. By the NTSB's account, she was one of 258 eyewitnesses who saw a rising streak of light and one of 56 who followed that light from the horizon to the plane. Of that 56, the New York Times, which more or less owned this story, interviewed exactly none. And notes Cashel, illegally, but very publicly, the FBI seized control of the investigation from the NTSB within hours of the crash, and also illegally, but more covertly, according to CIA documents, the DI, or Director of Intelligence, became involved in the missile theory, and what they did, folks, was to completely suppress it and lie about it the day after the crash occurred. There's a whole lot more, and Jack Cashel, James Sanders, and others have written articles and books about it. But I guess the big point remains. Like so many of the massive cover-ups that have now literally destroyed the once-free constitutional republic, this one's been 25 years, and the American people still haven't been told the truth. How many will die as a result of the lies that are being told today? From there, let's start our look back, beginning earlier in the week. Arguably the most important continuing story since the Biden regime came right out and said, hey, we need our own United States Gestapo. We'll go door to door and terrorize people, force them to take the poke or else. Nancy Pelosi decided maybe the Capitol Police can fill that role. We'll start expanding branch offices for tyranny all over the nation, especially in California and Florida. Lest some more Americans out there get uppity about the fact that we're ripping off elections and rubbing their noses in it and decide to try to see if they can't still peacefully protest and petition the government for a redress of grievances. Ha ha. And meanwhile, the door-to-door Zyklon B strike force is already getting their beta test orders. The Chicago area Orwellian paradise of Lake County has created a new, quote, community health ambassador outreach door-knocking project to increase COVID vaccine acceptance. In a manifesto that instructs, as Natural News and Mike Adams put it, Joe Biden's vaccine brown shirts how to break the law, ignore private property, and convince the hesitant, that's people with half a brain, that they'd better bend over, offer up their arms, and take the Zyklon B injection or else. Obviously, Big Brother didn't get 70% of formerly free Americans to sign up and go to the showers before what was once called Independence Day. So now they're pulling out the stops and doing what everybody knew was going to happen inevitably anyway. Said Lake County in their instruction manual for SS volunteers, ignore no soliciting signs. You're not soliciting. You're offering critical information and resources. And what you are doing is certainly not illegal in the Reich. No, what you're doing is not illegal. They lie to people and tell them. We're just teaching you now to trespass. The rest will come later. Use your script, they further instruct the new Gestapo, when it comes to approaching the vaccine hesitant. Quote, this will give you the basics. Once you get comfortable with it, feel free to make it sound more like you, as long as all the key information is there. Make clear up front that the building has let you in, and you're from the health department. Oh, yeah, and they also give detailed instructions on how to clear the building and make sure they get all the names down of who's been naughty and nice. Because you know darn well by now what's coming next. And on that score, we really do have to make sure we don't forget this one, too. This is a piece that came out just before the weekend. I talked about it a bit on the Sabbath Day news summary, but it seems to have literally gone viral since then, perhaps because, as some have explained, it's a pretty concise summary of the war on America and the Constitution and the rule of law and the duly elected President Donald Trump over the last 4+ years.
By Daryl Cooper. And it's specifically addressed at, you know, one of the obvious things that we've seen over the last 4 years. The headline says, Why Trump Supporters Are Pissed Off and They Don't Trust Anything. Now, the key here is they don't trust anything. And they're right on that score. They watched in horror as the bought and paid for captured whore media peddled lie after lie after lie, often based on anonymous leaks from deep state bureaucrats, powerful agents within the American intelligence community sick, liars who put their hand on a Bible, swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution that they are then undermining with every fiber of their satanic being. Falsified evidence, you name it. Okay, so here we go. He says this. Here are the facts. Yes, it looks like the election was purloined. And you're not allowed to see those facts, at least not by the waste stream. But here's what we know, because it's actually been admitted well after the fact. Number one, the FBI et al. Spied, lied on the 2016 Trump campaign. They manufactured evidence. They helped the Clinton campaign do so. And the intel community spied on the presidential campaign using faked evidence and forced faked documents. Well, that's a big deal to some folks, those that actually think a man's word should be his bond. And the truth is, everyone involved in that scam lied as long as they could. CIA Director Brennan, Adam Schiff, on TV saying they'd seen the clear evidence of collusion with Russia, Russia, Russia. You know, I don't have to go through all of this. All of it was a lie. And the real key here is it was the media. Every media and intel agency people once believed, no, they wouldn't lie, would they? Somebody better tell Adolf. They wouldn't make this stuff up, would they? There must be some grain of truth. They wouldn't just make it up out of whole cloth. They couldn't. Could they? And then finally, yeah, they did. They did. They lied. Their lips are moving and they're lying. It was a joke at one point, but now we're having to swallow the horrible truth. You can't trust them. And furthermore, the DOJ, the press, the government destroyed lives. They've destroyed a country. They've actively subverted an elected administration. And then they stole an election. Let me ask it this way. Given what we already know that they did to try to prevent an elected president from actually being able to exercise the authority of the office, does anybody with half a brain really think that the same liars who broke their oaths, who cannot be trusted and their word isn't worth a damn, wouldn't just subvert an election? Who are we kidding? Says the author here, the American people, those that still thought that there was such a thing as truth and integrity in government, they might have managed the shock if it only involved the government lying to them. But it was the corporate press that really radicalized them. They now know that they hate journalists, even more than they hate politicians who betrayed them. And here's the line in this whole story that I really kind of liked. The corporate press, they now know, is the propaganda arm of the regime. Now they see it. They've seen it. They've experienced it firsthand. And nothing anyone says will ever make them unsee that. Period. Now think about that. I think of the things that we're talking about today in the context of Numbers 30, where Scripture says a man's word is his bond. A real man who understands what it is to be a husband and a father also knows that he will take responsibility and authority for his wife's and his daughter's vows. And if necessary, he will bear their guilt. Compare that with a whole bunch of people, prostitutes and whore politicians. Yes, whore preachers too, who have been excusing all of this. Who are forcing people to say, no, you're going to bear their guilt. You're going to take it. You're going to take it in your arm with the COVID-19. No, the Zyklon B shot. This is generally what you find in Scripture and in history. When people do not have the integrity, when their word is not their bond, they generally don't take responsibility, even when they're caught. All of this, says the author of the piece I started with, is profoundly disorienting. And I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to really emphasize today. I'd like people to try to come to grips with it. This is what's called a passage, a significant emotional event. As Americans wake up and realize, Biden really is senile. They really did steal an election. They really do kill people with this Zyklon B poke. And here's the hard part. They intend to kill hundreds of millions more. The mind boggles still. I've seen all of this other stuff, but whoa, is Adolf really that bad? Are these people really that satanic? Answer, you're damned right they are. Because they intend to kill you. And if you don't get it now, it might not even be when you're riding on a train like the people in Nazi Germany in the early 1940s found out. No, they intend to kill you on the spot. I wish I was kidding. I wish that this whole thing was just a sick, satanic joke. But the truth is, we've been warned. Matthew 24 makes it so clear. Be not deceived. Lawlessness will abound. And if anything, folks, it's a simple statement that now we're just realizing how much of an understatement it really is. Back to this piece here. Yes, it's profoundly disorienting. Many people still don't know for sure whether ballots were faked in November, whether the electronic machines literally took Trump votes and turned them into Biden votes, and then processed vote totals through overseas servers with communist Chinese ties and all that kind of stuff that we've seen plenty of evidence for, but is still being lied about and hidden. They don't know about that. But they know one thing for absolutely certain. The press, the FBI, and Big Brother wouldn't tell them if it was true. What would they do? Answer, exactly what they're doing. They would lie to them. Well, what does that prove? Something is rotten in the deep state. That's what it proves. They have every reason to believe that. And yeah, it's almost certainly true. Because why would they lie otherwise? Why put all of these strictures in place saying we have the ability to audit an election, to do an honest recount, and then say, but over our dead bodies are you going to be allowed to do it? Furthermore, they watch the press. They watch them behave like animals for 4+ years. It's no longer just, oh, we have a liberal-leaning press. We have a press that will lie through their damnable teeth to push a propaganda narrative. Tens of millions of people will still see Kavanaugh as a gang rapist because Big Brother's press told them so, based on nothing but CNN. And CNN seems proud of that. Furthermore, this same criminally negligent network led a lynch mob against a high school kid. Remember that? And then they proceeded to cheer on a summer of riots. You want to knock over a Walmart? You want to steal a big screen TV and some Nikes? Oh, if you're the right color, go at it. You deserve it, bro. But on the other hand, if a bunch of people go to Washington, D.C. to peacefully protest, we're going to fire stun grenades into the crowd, flashbangs. We're going to incite them. We're going to open the doors and invite them in, and then we're going to hunt them down and send them to the gulag for the rest of their lives, even solitary confinement. Can you see a discrepancy here? They cheered on a summer of riots, and now they're claiming that what happened, where nobody except Ashley Babbitt was actually murdered, and they've hidden who that was, that they're now claiming is worse than 9/11. Well, I just finished telling you. Think about it, folks. Big Brother, the people that are pushing the Zyklon B vax, this was the line from Pfizer doctor, Dr. Michael Yeadon, they've already killed, in the first 6 months of this year, 5,000 people with the COVID shots. How many died in 9/11? Yeah, they've killed almost two 9/11s worth of people. And remember back in the days when they would have shut down a vaccine, a medical drug, for a tiny fraction, 10 people die? It's too many. They shut it down. They take it off the market. No more. Now we're going to force vaccinate people. Biden wants to send his goon squad of SS door to door. How's that for saying, oh, we don't give a damn how many of you we kill? I made the point this week. If you go back and you look at the 737 MAX, remember that? Big deal. 737 MAX is killing people. How many crashes were there? Answer, two. Turns out that about 3.08 people were killed for every million takeoffs and landings. You know what? That's less than the COVID vax is already killing. But they grounded the entire 737 MAX fleet for two crashes. And I'll say it again. You're a hell of a lot safer flying a 737 MAX without any changes or worries than you are taking the COVID shots. Well, with one possible exception. That is, you better know whether the captain, the pilot flying, has been taking the shots or not. Because it might not matter what you're flying in that case. People once believed that the media, if they were caught lying, would eventually tell the truth. They still thought the press would admit the truth that they're cornered. Now they don't. In fact, they now invent stories out of whole cloth to destroy regular lives. He gives more examples. We'll skip over that. Think back. And this was a question that was asked. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop scandal? A lot of folks have said, well, can you just imagine if that had been Donald Trump Jr.'s laptop? It would have literally been the story of the century. Think back about this. This you did hear, he says. There were stories about Trump being pissed on by Russian prostitutes and blackmailed by Putin. Those were pushed by the left-stream media as fact. Trouble is, there was no evidence whatsoever except a document bought and paid for by the opposition. Meanwhile, the New York Post was banned for reporting on true information. What judge is going to stick his neck out in a situation like this, knowing that, hey, it doesn't matter what the truth is. They know where I live. They'll come after my family. They'll firebomb my house. And then they'll lie about it in the press. And they'll get away with it. This is what it means, folks, when lawlessness abounds. And as the author here points out, no wonder there aren't any judges with, not only intelligence, but integrity. They're not willing to stand up against what they see as an entire nation where a man's word isn't worth squat. The threat of mass riots wasn't implied by the press and the left stream. It was direct. And that speaks a whole lot.
And from there, maybe the best way to wrap up this segment is with a sequence of good news, even if, to some extent, you might even call this duh good news. But at least there are actually some judges somewhere that managed to read the Constitution, know a little bit of history, and do the right thing. How's that for amazing? A three-judge panel for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit on Tuesday ruled that a federal handgun ban against adults under age 21 is, say it with me, folks, unconstitutional. Why, almost like somebody can read what shall not be infringed means. The majority opinion, written by Judge Julius Richardson, Trump appointee, referred to the Founding Fathers for guidance on the meaning of an armed militia and wrote, "We find that 18-year-olds possess Second Amendment rights." Amazing. "They enjoy almost every other constitutional right, and they were required at the time of the founding to serve in the militia and to furnish their own weapons." So he concluded, "Our nation's most cherished constitutional rights vest no later than 18, and the Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms is no different." Unquote. Here's one of the questions that still remains to be answered. Will Natalia Marshall, who tried to buy a handgun to protect herself, be allowed to buy one now? Or is it more likely she'll be in her mid-20s before the anti-gun tyrants give up the appeals process? And I make that observation, folks, because when it comes to suits like this, the default case is always, even though we've lost in court, we're still going to keep doing the tyranny until we decide that we don't have any other options remaining. These next couple of stories are arguably also good news along the same vein, and they also point out that Big Brother isn't giving up on the tyranny here either. From Arizona, one of the states at the heart of the investigation and the election fraud, Senate President Karen Fann in an interview announced that the number of ballots found by the audit does not match the certified sick total. Meanwhile, seeing the firestorm that's already been unleashed by simply daring to suggest that there might be some chicanery here worth checking on, they are double, triple, and quadruple checking every single detail, says the story out of the Gateway Pundit, in order to prove that the Senate audit is 100% accurate, and it's just possible that maybe more results could be expected within about 48 hours or so. This according to One America News Network. Meanwhile, writes Jim Hoff for the Gateway Pundit, more hard evidence has been presented about the massive fraud that stole the election there for the Biden Fuhrer. They've already reported the story notes on a mother-daughter team being caught on video, obviously running ballots through multiple times, and evidently passing something approximately the size of a thumb drive back and forth, with most of the worst tampering occurring after election monitors were forced to leave the scene of the crime. Remember the bogus water main leak, too? Says a Fulton County update from Jim Hoft, as they previously reported, election officials cleared out observers and the media from the State Farm Arena on election night, but a handful of people, the aforementioned unindicted criminals, stayed behind, allegedly continuing to count, yeah sure, ballots in private from around 10:30 p.m. until at least 1 a.m. And there's lots of evidence to suggest they scanned the same sets of ballots a number of times. And listen to some of the jaw-dropping numbers here that anybody with a hint of statistical background would say, this stinks to high heaven. Biden received 98% of a batch of 23,487 votes at 12:18 a.m., but the largest and most anomalous vote update happened at 1:34 a.m. on November 4th, with 136,155 votes going to Biden and a mere 29,000 going to Trump. And right there alone, folks, is over 8 times your alleged margin of victory in the state of Georgia. More witnesses have continued to come forward. Claims made by 6 hand-count auditors in the civil action now allege that they observed the following. 3 boxes containing 100% Biden ballots and 3 boxes containing 98% plus Biden ballots. Ballots that were not marked with a writing instrument but appeared to be marked with toner. Wonder what kind of a copying machine would do that. Ballots that were different in the stock or paper that was used to other ballots. Ballots that were not creased, meaning they evidently had never been in an envelope. And 9 ballot bags that were unsecured. For a total of over 106,000 ballots adjudicated in Fulton County alone during the 2020 election. And now Liz Harrington is reporting that they have additional camera evidence showing the criminals rescanning multiple ballots a number of times through the same machines.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
And now we have this bit of news that's honestly more than a bit funny. In Toledo, Ohio, a mural of St. George the Martyr has been destroyed. The local 13 ABC News affiliate reported that a mural honoring George Floyd erected at Summit and LaGrange in Toledo has collapsed after evidently being hit by a lightning strike, according to witnesses. 13 ABC's Doppler radar did show a lightning strike in that block about 4:30 p.m. this afternoon, they report, in what, at least once upon a time, would have been reported by the insurance industry as an act of God. Ponder the irony. But wait, there's more here. As the Wags at Zero Hedge note, if lightning hadn't been quickly established as the cause of the collapse, Black Lives Matter would have no doubt been claiming the incident was some sort of a hate crime. And we'd have had more scheduled looting and riots. This way, all they want to do is just ban God from Twitter. And we'll be right back. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm still your host, Mark Call, and there's still plenty we need to talk about. Evidence from the Arizona forensic audit of the obviously purloined election is now finally coming out, including, but not limited to, 74,000 fraudulent mail-in ballots. Unless some folks get Arkansas-ed, there should be more on that next week. And the White House on Friday admitted what we also know darn well. They've been flagging what they call problematic posts, people that tell the truth about the Cyclone B poke, on two Facebook. They call it disinformation, and that means you peon shouldn't be allowed to hear it. Just take your poke and die. Liberal but honest journalist Glenn Greenwald openly called the move a, quote, hallmark of fascism, and he was absolutely right. So let's talk in more detail next about some of the big, big lies, both being pushed by the deep state and their puppet regime. First, the so-called insurrection on January 6th that's nowhere close to an actual counter-revolution, and then a bit more on how to pave the way for a genocide. Now that we haven't seen hundreds of hours of video that was actually taken in and around the Capitol on January 6th of this year, but we have seen some pretty damning stuff taken by people who didn't get their cameras confiscated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation or their legions of unindicted co-conspirators on hand that day, from the gun handling incompetence of the agent who assassinated Ashley Babbitt to the grenade launcher handling expertise of the fellow who shot flashbang grenades into a peaceful crowd in an attempt to incite a riot. And of course, the Biden Fuhrer is still trying to build upon the lies and get that civil war started. Be afraid, be very afraid, because I'm trying not only to alarm you, but divide you, too. Listen to this.
I've said it before. We're facing the most significant test of our democracy since the Civil War. That's not hyperbole. Since the Civil War. The Confederates, back then, never breached the Capitol, as insurrectionists did on January the 6th. I'm not saying this to alarm you. I'm saying this because you should be alarmed.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
And by the way, just to set that historical illiterate straight, early on in the war to prevent Southern independence, General Robert E. Lee could in fact have taken Washington. But he didn't, because he pointed out, we are fighting a war to defend ourselves, not to overthrow a government. Wonder if there are any parallels there worth pointing out. Not that you're going to hear them from the Fuhrer. From there, I go to a piece from Steve McCann at The American Thinker about what Americans should be paying attention to. Political persecution, he begins, an isolation of vast swaths of the citizenry by the Justice Department, the intelligence sick community, and the judiciary in the wake of the January 6th Capitol incursion, a.k.a. false flag, should, in fact, put a chill down the spine of every American, not for the reasons that the Biden Fuhrer suggests, but because of what it says about a once-free republic and what will happen to anybody that still thinks they have a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The same troika, but with a different nomenclature, he continues, was mobilized by 20th century despots to eliminate their political enemies and establish a police state. And he notes up front, I did attend the January 6, 2021 rally at the U.S. Capitol and observed firsthand what the media and the socialists, a.k.a. Democrats, have falsely and with malice claimed was an armed insurrection. The initial step in consolidating power, he says, is to incessantly demonize, as enemies of the state, one's political opponents. The second step, isolate and delegitimize them by either staging or so exaggerating an incident that any and all steps to quash them are acceptable in order to save the nation. So it's important to ask, was the January 6th event pre-planned by legitimate Trump supporters? Was it spontaneous, or was it, as more and more evidence seems to suggest, a deliberate false flag setup intended to do exactly what they're now using it to do? And it's not, he continues, like we haven't seen for a dozen years now, conservatives, Republicans, Bible believers, libertarians, and others, demonized as white supremacists. In fact, it was the Department of Akhtung Homeland Security at the behest of Barack Hussein Obama who first declared back in April 2009 that right-wing terrorism, a.k.a. white supremacy, same thing, don't you know, was the greatest threat facing America. And despite the fact that the number of actual white supremacists is minuscule and they haven't done nearly as much damage as the black supremacists when it comes to arson, looting, and murder, Biden has just continued to accelerate that disgusting rhetoric. Now they're purging socialist media, the military, and pretty soon the countryside of anybody who not only voted for Donald Trump, but even suggests that there might have been some chicanery going on with the election. Or, St. George Floyd forbid, that they might not be willing to take the Zyklon B poke. At the very least, you have to ask, could there be a lack of trust involved? Writes McCann, the most radical and mendacious president in American history, Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero and Barry Sabarco, among known aliases, established the precedent that virtually every attack on conservatives or Republicans is framed in implacable racism and white supremacy. And it all accelerated with the backlash that elected Donald Trump. The only thing missing, though, has been an incident that could be hyperbolically exploited into a justification for unleashing the police powers of Big Brother against conservatives, Republican politicians, at least those with a backbone, supporters of Donald Trump, and again, anybody else who isn't drinking the Kool-Aid or taking the poke. January 6, 2021 has clearly become that incident. The author notes that he abhors trafficking in conspiracy theories and so has reluctantly come to the conclusion that, this probably is no longer a theory. The FBI, he notes, claimed they were aware of the possibility of violence by small fringe groups, and they had notified the proper authorities on Capitol Hill. Yeah, we can see what happened with that. Yet, no additional steps were taken, at least publicly, in response by anyone in authority at the Capitol. Still, throughout 2019 and 20, every Trump rally in Washington involved violence by Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters, whether it was the Demand Free Speech rally on July 6, 2019, or the closing night of the Republican convention at the White House on August 27th of 2020, or the Million MAGA March, November 14th of 2020. All of those things made the point. The powers that be in the Capitol and local government knew of this recent history, yet still refused to call in additional police or even accept Trump's offer of 10,000 National Guard troops. Maybe they had something else in mind. I participated, says the author, in numerous marches and events in Washington. He gives an entire litany of them here. Yet I was still taken aback, after all I've seen, by the obvious lack of preparation, as well as the practically non-existent crowd barriers at the Capitol. That does seem kind of suspicious, doesn't it? There was virtually no police presence, he writes, at the east front of the Capitol, and far too little at the west front. The overall police presence was woefully inadequate for the crowd everyone knew would eventually show up on the Capitol grounds, not to mention the potential for violence initiated not by the peaceful protesters, but by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. So it was difficult not to notice that among those at the doors of the west front of the Capitol were the stereotypical Antifa-looking militants and the atypical Trump supporters waving Trump flags trying to incite others. Then you had the flashbangs, the attempts to incite a riot. The same few police soon stepped aside and opened the doors, which had been unlocked from the inside, thus inviting the protesters into the Capitol. And if you haven't seen the video, folks, it's out there, even if the FBI won't unleash hundreds of hours that they've got of even more damning evidence. But the agitprop media and the Socialist Party had their narrative. The rally attendees were violent revolutionaries, be afraid, be very afraid, and President Trump, their execrable leader and instigator of the insurrection, to overthrow the new Bolshevik government. It was worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11. Oh yeah, and even worse than the Civil War that they haven't yet managed to quite restart. So now we must mobilize the entire force of the Big Brother government against this existential threat.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational battle station.
A true slime bag, your host interjects here, if there ever was one. Attorney General Merrick Garland testified that the so-called invasion on January 6th was the most dangerous threat to American democracy. I sure wish these people would read the Constitution and at least know what form of government we once had ever made, and that white supremacy, i.e., you know who that means, was an imminent threat to the nation. And he requested another $100 million for enhanced intelligence capability to monitor the threat, and declared the investigation into January 6th is the largest in FBI history. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice, using the specious argument that it might prompt further violence if people knew the truth, refuses to release to the public over 14,000 hours of video taken at the Capitol during the so-called insurrection, instead of just cherry-picking isolated clips and releasing them to the captive media to further their pre-planned narrative. Thus, the script and the blueprint written by the despots of the 20th century, says the author, are being faithfully executed. The third member of the tyrannical troika, the judiciary, is also playing out its role in establishing the foregone conclusion that they've been working towards, the police state. And thanks to the intrepid reporting, though, of Julie Kelly at the American Greatness website, we know the following. And I've reviewed some of this over the last week or two, folks, but it bears repeating. One, no one has been charged with sedition or using or even possessing a lethal weapon. Thus, you can't really call it an armed insurrection. The most common charge filed against the more than 500 peaceful protesters that have been arrested is trespassing, despite the fact that many, as the video that has been released by the public shows, were led into the Capitol by police. Number two, as bail was not granted, despite minor charges and no prior convictions, numerous detainees are being held in a reopened jail in appalling third world conditions. It's a modern gulag, and at times they're in solitary confinement, subject to physical abuse. All are awaiting trials that probably won't happen for nearly a year. Number three, the FBI's used theatrical and unjustified SWAT team tactics in arresting suspects. And I've seen a few of those videos, folks. They're downright disgusting. People who were not even in the Capitol have been arrested, questioned, detained, and publicly humiliated. And after overtly insisting their friends, relatives, and neighbors must spy on their fellow citizens, the FBI is now using uncorroborated information from virtually anyone as a pretext to arrest rallygoers. Number four, all those arrested and being detained will be tried in Washington, a city that voted against Trump by a margin of 17-1. Well, I guess if you were going to pick a place, that would be it, wouldn't it? Federal judges, sick, who are supposed to be impartial, have openly sided with Big Brother in virtually all of their filings and bail requests and have not forced the prosecutors to release any exculpatory information requested by the defendants or even shown a willingness to correct the abuses in prison. So far, Congress hasn't even taken a look there. Number five, meanwhile, many thousands of rioters, looters, and arsonists that destroyed buildings, businesses, and injured police officers during the violent summer of 2020 have not been arrested, or the few that have been released or given suspended sentences. There's a moral here, folks, and you're not going to be allowed to hear it. But it's obvious we'll be feeling the jackboot as it stomps down, like Orwell said, on a human face forever, increasingly, and it's already started. Next, I want to spend a few more minutes today on a story that I think really exemplifies not just the level of fraud, but the attempt to deceive and destroy America and Americans en masse. And much of this kind of summarizes events that we've been talking about and working up to now for quite some time, especially when it comes to the covering up of any actual alternatives to Americans being forced to take the poke. Why, you can't very well have an emergency and a warp speed override of all testing policies without some kind of a dire emergency that just wouldn't be that dire if there were easy alternatives available. Now, would you? Things like safe, effective treatments that have been available for a long, long time and are pretty well known to be a hell of a lot less harmful than Zyklon B in your shoulder. And let me introduce this installment of the Yes, They Really Are That Evil segment with the introduction to several pieces, most of them via Natural News and Ethan Huff. Those working on the front lines of the plandemic all last year were indicating from the beginning that early treatment was of utmost importance, and they were recommending things, proven remedies like hydroxychloroquine or HCQ and ivermectin as therapeutic solutions. But the medical deep state was all the while engaged in a global collusion racket with Big Pharma Obama, warns Dr. Peter McCulloch, the goal of which was to, quote, cause as much harm and death as conceivable. You see, continues Huff, by encouraging the use of safe, inexpensive, and off-patent drugs, the real doctors trying to save lives were cutting into the profits and eugenic goals of Moderna, Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, and other corrupt globalist entities who'd worked long and hard and for many years to bring about the global plandemic in the first place. It was never about helping people, much less flattening the curve. Remember when it was only going to be 2 weeks instead of 2 years, or, oh, maybe now forever? But rather about ratcheting up the tyranny and enslaving the global population with things like mask mandates and now vaccine guidelines that aim to inject a bulk of the planet with experimental mRNA drugs at warp speed, meaning there never was a place in the global New World Order for tried and true, basically safe, long extant treatments like HCQ or ivermectin. Dr. McCulloch has warned that the entire medical system now seems to be under some kind of mass hypnosis, where most are simply going along with the recommendations of Fauci and Gates without so much as a second thought. Or maybe, folks, they're just too concerned about losing their livelihood, their licenses, and maybe even their lives if they dare to speak up about what they know well is so horribly wrong in the world. Still, though, the ignorance is causing mass disease and death. Somehow, though, it can't be challenged, because to do so would be to embrace what is now referred to as anti-science. Some, though, like Dr. McCulloch, are doing it anyway, potentially at great risk to their careers and livelihoods. Dr. Joseph Mercola, too, is among those that have spoken up. He said perhaps one of the greatest crimes in this whole pandemic is the refusal by reigning health authorities to issue early treatment guidance. Instead, they've done everything possible to suppress remedies shown to work, whether it be corticosteroids, hydroxychloroquine or HCQ with zinc, ivermectin, vitamin D, or NAC, a.k.a. N-acetylcysteine, better known as glutathione. And would you believe that the satanically evil Food and Drug Administration is now even trying to ban that? Says Huff, instead of trying to help people with this simple, natural, easily accessible, natural remedy, the FDA is trying to erase it from existence and encouraging people to rush out and get jabbed with the Mark of the Beast abominations that are both unsafe and ineffective and, by the way, also irreversible. And let me interject this here, folks, because I've heard any number of people comment that, hey, if the United States government was really serious about protecting people, all they had to do was to go out and say, you know what? Get some sunshine. Better still, here's a whole bunch of free doses of vitamin D3 with K2. Take this, and the vaccine not only won't be necessary, you'll forget that there ever even was a plandemic. And by the way, your health will be better overall besides. And the very fact that they explicitly didn't do that tells you that it was never about your health in the first place. Or even, for that matter, good economic sense. Dr. McCulloch says, I'm glad that I always personally treated all my patients, knowing that he has the, well, gravitas to continue to buck the system and do what he knows needs to be done to save lives. Quote, I wasn't going to have a virus slaughter one of my senior citizens. And it is, I think, terrible that none of our major academic institutions innovated with a single protocol. To my knowledge, not a single major academic medical center as an institution attempted to even treat patients with COVID-19. But because he has publication power, Dr. McCulloch has made considerable strides in getting the truth out despite continued resistance from the establishment. He knows the risks, but he's willing to take them, says Huff, for the benefit of his patients and for society as a whole. Quote, when you look at how comprehensive and intense the censoring and suppression of early treatments were, it's hard to come to any other conclusion than that this was a strategy aimed at securing emergency use authorization, or EUA, for COVID gene therapies, unquote, adds Dr. Mercola. And to emphasize that point, the grossly misnamed so-called UN World Health Organization, SICK, is still pushing death on a platter and saying the exact opposite of the truth. A related piece, also from Ethan Huff, says that a WHO spokesman recently reiterated that agency's position on ivermectin, saying, as a potential treatment for the Wuhan flu, it's, quote, not very promising. They just don't believe there's enough evidence of its efficacy. But imagine this, folks. In spite of the damning evidence to the contrary, when it comes to the mRNA genetic modification injection, they're pushing it right into people's bloodstreams regardless. The WHO decided to repeat this false message, says Huff, after Fox affiliate reporter Ivory Hacker got on TV and announced live on air that doctors are seeing positive results from administering ivermectin to their COVID-positive patients, despite the medical industry, or at least the bought and paid for parts, overarching rejection of its use. Hacker, of course, was lambasted by the establishment for daring to make this claim, even though actual data, and that would have been once called science, folks, suggests that ivermectin is dramatically lowering death rates in clinics where it's being used, including at the United Memorial Medical Center in Houston, where Dr. Joseph Varon works and has given some 1,600 interviews over the past year explaining how ivermectin is doing wonders to help the sick. Still, though, almost every other media outlet is rejecting Dr. Varon's claims, almost as if, and I can't help but think there's a lot of truth in this, they want people to suffer and die, well, especially if it lines the pockets. Without going through the entire list of numbers here, suffice it to say that Dr. Varon, who's dealt with almost 1,300 hospitalized patients between March of last year and May of this year, is having a far better success rate than the CDC's own allegedly best practices. And as Huff summarizes all of this, even though there's zero evidence to suggest that the so-called vaccines, which really aren't, do anything other than kill people either slowly or right up front, make them infertile, and spread variants, the WHO is actively pushing the injections while downplaying any possible benefits of ivermectin. All of which leads me to this really great conclusion piece, courtesy of Dr. Joseph Mercola, via his website and all those others that are sound enough to pick it up. While the list of crimes, he says, committed by authorities during the COVID-1984 pandemic is a long one, perhaps the biggest crime of all is the purposeful suppression of safe and effective treatments. At this point, it seems quite clear that this was done to protect the COVID jab rollout. Those shots were brought to market under EUA, or Emergency Use Authorization, which can only be obtained if there are no other alternatives available. In a sane world, the COVID gene therapies would never have gotten an EUA, as there are several safe and effective treatment options available. One treatment that stands out above the others, though, is ivermectin, a decades-old antiparasitic drug that is on the World Health Organization's list, well, at least when it comes to anything but the booga-booga flu, of essential medications. But what makes ivermectin particularly useful, says Dr. Mercola, in COVID-19, is the fact that it works both in the initial viral phase of the illness, when antivirals are required, as well as in the inflammatory stage, when the viral load drops off and anti-inflammatories become necessary. It's been shown to significantly inhibit SARS-CoV-2 replication in vitro, speed up viral clearance, and dramatically reduce the risk of death. And speaking just for myself, folks, I can say here that when I needed it and I looked for it, it was very, very hard to get a hold of. Well, unless it was at your local veterinary clinic. And in hindsight, honestly, I wish I'd gone and done the math and taken a bunch of the stuff marketed for horses or goats, in spite of the fact that Big Brother says no. Mercola cites several studies in his article, basically making the point about ivermectin. And also notes that when WHO finally updated their guidance on ivermectin at the end of March 2021, they largely rejected it, saying more data is needed. After all, nobody's buying us off like they are for the poke. They only recommended it, he says, for patients who are enrolled in a clinical trial, something that they didn't even need for the poke. Anyway, they still based their negative recommendations on a review that included just 5 studies, but still ended up showing a 72% reduction in deaths. And he went on to debunk their own studies with their own data, noting that they speak from both sides of their mouth when it comes to reductions in deaths and efficacy on one thing as opposed to the other. You want to know why? Well, the WHO refuses to recommend this drug for COVID-19, says a WHO representative named Rabindra Abeyasinghe, because using ivermectin without strong enough evidence is harmful, because it might give, are you ready for this, folks, false confidence to the public. Oh, and what would that mean? Yeah, they might not be willing to bend over and take their dose of Zyklon B right in their veins. Concludes Dr. Mercola, if you've been trying to share the good news about ivermectin, you've undoubtedly noticed that doing so is incredibly difficult because many socialist media companies are simply banning such posts outright. Promoting ivermectin on YouTube or even discussing benefits in public research violates the platform's posting policies. And then he cites some of the victims. Folks, this kind of stuff really ought to infuriate you. I know it certainly infuriates me because I was one of those who would like to have had it, couldn't get it when I needed it, and the results were, praise Yah, not quite fatal, but had it been up to Big Brother, they would have been. And yeah, we're all still dealing with the after effects. And you can kind of guess why that might just tend to piss your host off. I'm now among those, if I wasn't before, who will not stand silently by while they continue a policy of mass genocide. They're hiding the good stuff, suppressing news about things that actually do make a positive difference, while all the time doing so for an obvious reason. They intend to force people to take the poke. They're going to use it to bring about their mark of the beast. And if it kills a few hundred million or even billion people in the process, well, isn't that just satanically great so far as they're concerned? There is an agenda here, folks. It's at play. It's not even remotely hidden.